Please rise as you are able for the reading of today's scripture from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 37. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Shannon, thank you for your prayer. And as Shannon just prayed for the victims of the shooting in Florida, as are many of you, my heart just breaks over that. Every time I see the news, I feel this just deep sadness. And of course, in times like this, it's important that we turn to God, both in our outrage and in prayer of lament, but also seeking what it is that we maybe don't see that we need to see. Maybe what it is that we are not doing that we need to do. The evening that this horrific shooting happened, we gathered for our Ash Wednesday service. That's the service that begins the season of Lent, where we journey toward the cross of Christ. On that evening, word of the attack was just dawning as we received ashes in the sign of a cross, and we heard the words, "From dust we have come. To dust we shall return." The presence of this tragedy on Ash Wednesday reminds us ever more deeply how marred we are in sin and disease. And this season of Lent is a time to intentionally reflect, uncomfortable as it may be, on our human sinfulness and brokenness. So today we continue that journey to the cross as we launch a new sermon series called Cross Words. Over the next few weeks, we will examine the words Jesus spoke from the cross and discover what they say to us about how we are to live and what we are to believe, what we are to do both in our relationship with God and with our neighbor. Today's last words spoken by Jesus are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What would you say if you knew the next words that you were going to speak were your last? "I love you." A dad of one of the victims in Florida lamented that he couldn't remember if he said, "I love you," to his daughter that morning. He didn't have the benefit of knowing that whatever he said that morning would be the last. Jesus, on the other hand, knew that the words we are studying today would be among his last. He had already been nailed to the cross, and Jesus died just as he lived, revealing the nature and the character of God, one of mercy and hope, of compassion and justice. Jesus died just as he had lived. The first part of the words from the cross today are, "Father, forgive them." And this implies two things that we need to pay attention to. First, that the "them" needs forgiving. And second, that the forgiving ultimately needs to come from God the Father. Since the beginning of time, except for maybe the first moments of creation, humanity has had a need for forgiveness. Adam and Eve did the one thing that God commanded them not to do, and ever since we see example after example in Scripture and in our history books, in our daily news, in our individual lives, of behaviors that call for repentance and for God's mercy. Paul says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Charles Wesley writes in the hymn we sang just a moment ago, "We all have a bent towards sinning." And sometimes our disobedience can spiral out of control, and we get caught up in sinful habits or cultures, and the result can be harmful, if not tragic. Dr. Long, who preached here just a couple of weeks ago, shared an example when he recounted a news story of a family member of the Las Vegas shooter who said, "We knew all along that he was involved in the darkness, and I guess he just became the darkness." This world needs God's justice and God's loving mercy and forgiveness. And it's important for us to understand this morning that all sin is ultimately against God. Why is that? It's because sin violates the order and the goodness that God intends for creation. So when we sin, it isn't just against the other person, it's also against God. King David knew this. After the prophet Nathan confronted him for committing adultery and ultimately murder, David writes these words in Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." And listen to this, he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." So judgment is right and forgiveness is necessary. We cannot enter God's kingdom without it. But thanks to God, Scripture also teaches us that the Son of Man came out to seek and save the lost. We see Jesus reaching out and calling the sinners and the outcasts to him, to eat at the table with him, to follow him as his disciples. He called to be his disciple Levi, the tax collector, who was so happy that Jesus called him, a sinner, to follow him that he threw a big party and he invited all of his sinner friends to participate. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained about Jesus hanging out with those people. And Jesus responded, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinner." And that, my friends, is the good news. Jesus came for them, and Jesus comes for us. Every single one of us, even those of us today who are stuck and brought low by the sins of our past, and maybe even the sins of today. In Acts 13, Paul says, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone is set free who believes. And justification, that this is a justification that you were not able to receive under the law." So what he's saying here is that we cannot save ourselves, but Jesus can. Through Jesus, we are set free from the burden of our sins, and we are given a new life and new hope. So the last words, "Father, forgive them," tells us that forgiveness is needed and that that forgiveness needs to come from God. Now, the second part of Jesus' last words for today, "for they know not what they do," tells us that even unintentional sins require forgiveness. Let's ponder that for a minute. In one sense, it seems that the expectations just got a little higher. We are guilty even when we do not know that what we're doing is wrong. Interestingly, Scripture teaches that unwitting sin deserves a lesser punishment than malicious sin, but that it is still punishable nonetheless. Paul says that we have no excuse because what we need to do is already written on our hearts and our conscience bears witness to it. But in another sense, these words are actually freeing because they show us the utter state of hopelessness that we're in without Christ as our Savior. So my advice to all of us today is we shouldn't go down that road of trying to save ourselves because it won't work. But then in everything, Whatever you're experiencing, whatever amount of guilt, whatever amount of doubt, whatever amount of shame, we just need to lean on Jesus. Now, Jesus treats these sins of ignorance through a combination of three things: teaching, accountability, and intercession. First, Jesus overcomes these sins of ignorance primarily through teaching us. He tries to open the eyes of his hearers, those who just don't get it, through the telling of stories, such as the parable of the Good Samaritan. He tries to help his followers understand what they do not understand about the commandment to love your neighbor. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He also holds us accountable for growing in our knowledge and in our faith. He is seen holding the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious teachers in particular, accountable with sharp language when they just don't get it. Jesus expects more of them. In Luke 11, Jesus says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of everything, but you neglect the more important things of justice and love." And you need to do both. And he says to the experts in the law, "Woe to you, because you have taken away the key to knowledge." And as this continues in the text, in essence, what he is saying is, not only do you not get it, but you actually hinder others from getting it. Jesus takes this pretty seriously. But finally, and most importantly, Jesus treats these sins as a priest, asking for forgiveness on their behalf and on our behalf. While hanging on the cross, Jesus, the high priest, says, "Father, these here, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them." He offers a prayer of intercession to the Father that still today gives us hope in the face of our human limitations and sin. On our own, we can never be good enough, and that's the point. We can't, and that's okay. But we still have hope. We just need to recognize that our righteousness is not our own. It comes from Christ. It is a gift, freely given. Thanks be to God. We cannot save ourselves, but Jesus can. One last thing I want to highlight from today's text is the "them," that combined voice of the crowd and that led to this sin and led to Jesus' death. In the section right before the text that was read today, we see how this pressure and influence can build up in a collective body or a collective group. When Jesus appeared before Pilate, the crowd worked themselves up in such a frenzy that they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Similarly, anytime we are in any kind of community context and we see passions building on one another, we need to be careful that we aren't swept up in a collective voice that is not the one of the kingdom of God. If we aren't careful, and history proves this to be true, we can end up doing some pretty bizarre things, some things we'd probably never do on our own. We see this at large sporting events, and we see it at political rallies where people feed off of each other and they get engaged in either emotional highs or angry outbursts, and this can just kind of sweep over the crowd. We also see it, however, on a positive side, where we can come together as a community and do things for the good, where people join hand in hand to save their neighbors in times of crisis and disaster. One point that I'm trying to make is that we are necessarily, because we're human creatures, shaped by our culture and by those around us, either for good or for evil. We continuously have more than one kingdom vying for our loyalty. Which kingdom will we choose? There is a choice to be made. And how will we use our collective voice? There Jesus hung on the cross as the crowd in a frenzy of shared certitude shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They did not glimpse, it seems, even for a fraction of a second, the profound nature of what was happening right in front of them. Many, perhaps, just following the crowd. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Sadly, even after these amazing, profound words are spoken, Jesus continues to be ridiculed. The leaders sneered at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." The soldiers mocked him, saying, "If you are a king, save yourself." And all I could think was, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jesus didn't come here to save himself. He came here to save us." And that's what they couldn't see. Of course, I'm being unfair because I have the benefit of hindsight, 2,000 years of it. Yet we know we aren't innocent either. For all have sinned and fall short. Against you, you alone I have sinned, and you are justified when you judge. Dr. Tom Long shared a story with us. It was about one of his students. He had instructed one of his preaching classes to prepare a sermon on judgment, and this particular student refused. She said, "I don't believe in judgment. It has taken me 3 years in therapy to get over it, and I am not preaching it." As they continued to talk, she ended up telling him about her son who suffered from addiction. His behavior had become erratic, so much so that she was afraid of him. And as she ended her story, she shared how she finally, courageously confronted her son, how she walked up the steps and knocked on his door and said to him, "I love you so much that I am not going to put up with this anymore. We are going to set this right." I think that's what God's saying to us. I love you so much that I am not going to put up with this anymore. I am going to set this right by sending my son not to condemn you, but to save you. Like all those who have gone before us, we will have to answer to God for how we have lived our lives. And as we have seen, we cannot save ourselves. We need help, someone to intercede on our behalf. We need a Savior. And thanks be to God, we have one. No matter what we've done or have not done, no matter how much we still have to learn, the good news is that if we run to the cross, to the one who paid the price, Jesus still intercedes on our behalf. Father, forgive them. Thanks be to God. Amen.